You're listening to KMXT Public Radio, Talk of the Rock, and I'm here with my guest, Bob Peterson. Could you introduce yourself, please?
Yes. Hello, Kayla. My name is Bob Peterson. I'm the Community Development Director for the Kodiak Island Borough.
All right, great. And we're going to be talking about some code today. And there have been a lot of code changes that I've seen pass through the assembly meetings and through city council meetings, and they're all kind of springing from the limited housing we have here in Kodiak and from the closing of the Jackson Mobile Home Park. So can you talk a little bit about how some of the new code has sprung up and why?
Certainly. So last May, I believe it was, people that live in Jackson's Mobile Home Park were getting notices that the park was being closed and they'd have to move their trailers. And one of the things at the borough that we did was put together a package of information about some of the regulatory procedures we have in code and some of the limitations about trailers moving to other mobile home parks, older mobile home parks expanding, and what other options in that whole realm of affordable or workforce housing are out there that the borough might consider. We recognize that that piece of the puzzle is just a small piece of the overall housing issues that this community and many others are facing, but that was one of the parts that we worked with directly was the land use regulations. So we brought this material forward to the Planning Commission and the Borough Assembly. And the Planning Commission began working on a number of these code amendments. And to date, they adopted ordinances that amend the non-conforming statutes of the code. And that would allow mobile homes from Jackson's to move into one of the other mobile home parks in the community. Previously, that could not happen because of their non-conforming status. They were grandfathered with respect to a lot of zoning rules. So that was done, if those folks can work out an arrangement with the owner of the mobile home park. The Borough Assembly and then later the City Council adopted resolutions to waive the fees for folks moving mobile homes from Jackson's. There was also amendments to the mobile home park code itself, the chapter that governs mobile home parks and where they can go and what kind of improvements are necessary to either establish or expand a mobile home park. And those were approved a few months ago. There was another amendment to the code that expanded the number of zoning districts where mobile homes could be stored. Under the code before, any business or industrial zone property could be a location for storage of all sorts of things, including mobile homes. And the commission recommended and the assembly adopted an ordinance to also allow that storage in the other zoning districts, for example, the public lands district, lands owned by the city, borough, or state, or the conservation district, because there's a lot of conservation zoning around the community outside the city limits, but not in nearby to the town of Kodiak. So those are a number of changes that have been adopted. Tomorrow night, P&Z has their second public, the work session on the second, prior to the second public hearing on changes to the code we'll be talking about most today, accessory dwelling units. And just last week, the Assembly adopted amendments to another chapter of Borough Code with respect to recreational vehicle parks, lessening some of the regulations that pertain to establishing or expanding an RV park in the community, and also making it a little easier and allowing a longer time if someone is building a home on their property and living in an RV while they're building their own home. And increase the time substantially for folks to do that. So that's sort of what's been going on. As I said, we're having our second public hearing next week on the accessory dwelling unit proposal. And other code sections that are in the work include a proposal for a new zoning district for smaller residential lots called small lot residential. The hope there is to allow subdivisions of smaller than the current minimum lot size to reduce the land cost part of the equation of what it costs to build housing in Kodiak. And there's also, P&Z will be considering an ordinance for planned unit developments, which is sort of a mini ordinance tailored to a specific development on a specific site.
So there are so many codes that the borough is working on. We're here today to talk about accessory dwelling units. So could you explain what that is for those who may not be familiar and give some examples?
Certainly. Well, accessory dwelling units, the concept had been around for a long time. 25, 30 years ago, they started showing up in land use codes in various parts of the country. Traditionally, some of the names that are used are mother-in-law apartments or granny flats or that sort of thing. Basically, it's a small living space either within a home or an accessory building, and it provides another housing option for people to live in. Traditionally, I think they were intended for, you know, the parents, an elderly parent, to live with family but have their own space. They're often commonly used for adult children, say they graduate from college and move back home before they've started working yet or found a job that would be able to afford their own place. Oftentimes, they sometimes come back and live with their parents, and this provides some separation. It provides options for people in retirement. Perhaps they want to downsize and live in a smaller space and maybe rent or have other family live in the main house. And sometimes they're just rental units for workforce or affordable housing. So they accomplish a lot of objectives depending on one's individual situation.
All right. And so say that my mother will allow me to stay in the apartment above the garage, but she doesn't have a conditional use permit to have it be an accessory dwelling unit. Can I still stay there, or is that somehow illegal?
Well, currently the concept of accessory dwelling unit is not anywhere in the Kodiak Island Borough Code. So the way the code is structured, you can have one dwelling unit on a piece of property, or if it's zoned duplex, you can have a duplex, a two-family dwelling, not two separate dwelling units. Or in multifamily, you can have apartments or groups of apartment buildings. Many folks have guest rooms or guest quarters, you know, a bedroom, a bathroom, perhaps some living space. In the planning codes and in the building codes, the difference is when you get a second kitchen. So when folks have an independent kitchen to prepare and store and cook their food, that in the building code and in the zoning code, that becomes the definition of a dwelling unit. So having all of those facilities in above the garage, in your example, would not be legal under current code, but it would be something that is exactly what's contemplated, in the proposed code amendment.
And I'm just curious, I never thought this far into a separate living area even being possibly against code. So what could be the consequence of having something like that arrangement and not having the permission for it?
Well, if, as in any code enforcement matter, there is a code enforcement process that if someone complains about it and we learn of it, we'll investigate it, determine if, in fact, it is a violation of code. If it is, we'll work with the property owner to remedy the situation or find a path towards approval. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And so ultimately there are procedures and processes to deal with violations of code.
And should this be approved, would someone need to apply for this permit?
Yes. The way our code is structured, that all land uses or changes of land use and structures require a permit called zoning compliance. And that's sort of the first level of permit, and you need to get zoning compliance before you can then get a building permit if you need a building permit for whatever you're doing with a structure, building a new structure, adding on, tearing one down, remodeling, changing use, any of those possibilities. Part of what this code amendment is considering, that P&Z will be ultimately making a recommendation on, is what other type of approval is necessary. If an accessory dwelling unit is listed as a permitted use, then you would simply come to the counter with some information and you would get your zoning compliance permit. And then you could, as we say, go down the hall and see the building officials and see what building permits might be needed. One option that P&Z will be discussing is, are there some zoning districts or some factors that P&Z would feel that a conditional use permit should be required for that accessory dwelling unit. And that's a conditional use permit is, it's a permitted use, but because of the nature of that use and often because of potential impacts, there's a more scrutiny in review of that application, and that actually requires a public hearing before the Planning and Zoning Commission with notice to surrounding property owners. And so a hearing is held, you evaluate the application, what the folks are proposing, what the potential impacts are. P&Z holds the hearing and then makes a final decision on the conditional use permit. So they're all, I think pretty much all the zoning districts have lists of permitted uses and then some that are conditional uses that require that extra scrutiny.
Okay, so this would not be a rezoning of the property then?
No. As drafted, this code would propose to allow accessory dwelling units as a permitted use in all of the residential zoning districts in the borough. And certainly we've highlighted, and I know P&Z has talked about in their three prior work sessions, are there zoning districts or specific areas where it maybe should be that conditional use instead of that permitted use? And that's part of what that hearing process is intended to do, to hear folks' viewpoints on that and to hear their testimony, and then P&Z weighs that and ultimately makes a recommendation to the Borough Assembly, who, as you know, then holds their own hearing and takes what's called final legislative action.
Okay, and can you give me an idea of what R2 versus R1, R3 is?
Sure. So R1 is single-family residential. So that means you can have a single-family residence, that one kitchen, if you will, on a lot. And when you're subdividing land, the minimum lot size for single-family zoning is 7,200 square feet, or about a quarter of an acre. It's less than that. A quarter of an acre is a little over 10,000 square feet. In R2 is called the two-family or duplex residential district, and in the R2 district, you can have a single-family home, or you can also have a duplex, a two-family dwelling. So you can have, side-by-side duplex, one up, one down, any sort of combination like that. And then R3 is multifamily residential, and you can have more than two dwelling units, 3, 4, 8, whatever the other limits on your lot would allow for.
Okay, and so if you did have an R3 permitted property, could you also have an accessory dwelling unit added to that?
Yes. As drafted, this provision would allow the addition of an accessory dwelling unit in all the residential zoning districts. In R3 district, there's a minimum number of square feet for each dwelling unit on the property. And then when you permit that structure, you also look at the setbacks, the required parking, and so forth. The ADU proposal would allow folks in any of the residential zoning districts to add one accessory dwelling unit, and there's a number of code provisions and limits that we can talk about that describe and how that works and what those limits are. And then, so that could be that additional dwelling opportunity in the existing zoning.
Okay, and speaking of parking, I know that you just mentioned parking. If a property is approved for an accessory dwelling unit, do they need to add parking spaces to accommodate the new inhabitants?
Yes, mm-hmm. They do. So our current code for a single-family dwelling requires 3 parking spaces, off-street parking spaces. Years ago, it was only 2 off-street parking spaces required, but the code was changed to require 3. To add an ADU, there would have to be 4 off-street parking spaces on that lot, 3 for the existing dwelling and 1 extra for the accessory dwelling unit. So as you can imagine, in a lot of parts of town, there isn't a lot of off-street parking available, and so that could be a limiting factor on the ability of those properties to add an accessory dwelling unit.
Okay. One of the questions that the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly is considering is, should ADUs only be allowed when the lot is served by public water and sewer? So is that a consideration?
Yes, it is. that has been discussed at the Planning and Zoning Commission in their various work sessions. The code requirement now says that, as proposed, that the accessory dwelling unit must have a bathroom and share the same sewage disposal and water supply systems, either the public connections or a well and septic, as the main dwelling, unless separate sewer and water connections are required by any of the cities or the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. So, as drafted, it could be located on a property that's zoned. The example is the rural residential zoning district, Menashka Bay, Bell's Flats, those sorts of areas, Passaic Shack. And it would have to be connected to the well and septic system.
Okay. And how do you ensure the ADUs remain accessory use to the main dwelling?
Well, in a couple of ways. You know, when we issue that permit, we put what the limits are and the rules and regulations, and we give those to folks, and we're hopeful that folks will follow the code and not change something after they get their permits. But the regulations themselves are designed to get at the very point you've raised, that to add a dwelling unit to a piece of property, you want to make sure that if that's being done as an accessory dwelling, then it's really accessory. It's not just a second home on the lot. And so some of the standards that are in code to do that is, and I'll just sort of walk through these and they sort of bounce around your specific question, but it can be within the single family dwelling, or you could put an addition, say, in the back of the house for an accessory dwelling unit, or it could be in an accessory building on the same lot, as you, in the example you cited earlier, like an apartment above the garage type of thing. The draft regulations say that if it's within the single-family dwelling, there should only be one entrance to the front of the house, so it doesn't change the appearance of the house to look like a duplex instead of a single-family home. You could have a separate sentence at the side or the rear, but not out there right facing the street, if you will. The ADU has to comply with all the building and fire codes as a threshold item. We talked about the water and wastewater disposal systems and the parking. There's also a proposal to limit the size of the ADU, and that's one of the subjects that P&Z has been wrestling with in their work sessions. I think hopefully they'll come to a final proposal on the size. The code reads as drafted, if the ADU and the principal residence are on the same floor or story, say a one-story house, for example, that the accessory dwelling unit would be limited to one-third of the total living area of the overall structure or a number of square feet, which is ever is less. And that number of square feet has been talked about anywhere from 950 square feet down to 650 square feet. One of the reasons that is in the proposal is that what we found in reviewing all other communities or a number of other communities that allow accessory dwelling units, they all have some sort of a size limit to keep it being accessory, and so it's not just two identical houses side by side on one lot. There's other provisions that if the ADU is located on a single level, say a basement of a two- or three-story home or that above the garage, there's no increase in the size of the house, they could use that entire level for that accessory dwelling unit. And then in an accessory building, there's a limit, again, a discussion of somewhere between no larger than 950 to 650 square feet.
Those are all really interesting additions. If anyone has any questions, they can call in at 486-3181 if they have any specific questions for Bob. One of the things I thought of that could be opened up by this code is, are you familiar with the tiny house movement?
Yes, I am.
It was a question I wanted to ask you. Is that a possible opening for this land use? Maybe you could build a tiny house.
Yes, you could. And I think the tiny house is, if folks don't know, it's a very small structure, very compact space, and they're ideally suited to accessory dwelling units. In many communities, what's commonly referred to as the tiny house is what becomes the accessory dwelling unit, because there are businesses out there in the world that manufacture tiny houses, and they designed to meet code, and they're transportable, and you could set them up on a foundation. And so it's you're not building it yourself or hiring a contractor. You can actually just buy the whole thing. That might be a little different in Kodiak, but certainly that does happen elsewhere. So it could lend itself to tiny houses, certainly. The other proposal that we mentioned at the beginning of the show about the small lot subdivision could also is in part intended to for the tiny house type structures, reducing the cost of housing, making it easier for a first-time home buyer or a younger person to get into housing without paying the prices that other homes in the community are.
Yeah, that's always appealed to me, having one of these tiny houses, and some of them are so creative and they're really beautiful. They're like pieces of art and architectural art. They'll have hidden drawers and hidden beds, and you walk into this room and it's basically this tiny, tiny room with all these hidden compartments. So that's a really cool possibility.
It is, and if you research those, the creativity you mentioned or the design is it just amazes me what folks will come up with is creative solutions to living space.
Yeah, so that could be our new future in Kodiak, tiny homes or tiny house movement. I think that would be really awesome. Maybe you mentioned this kind of within what you just said, but is there a maximum number of occupants for?
Yeah, there's three or four other requirements along that lines of keeping things accessory. And one of those is that no more than two people shall reside in the ADU, so it isn't, again, the potential of another home with a whole bunch of folks living there. And the owner of the property has to live in either the principal dwelling or the accessory dwelling unit. So an absentee owner couldn't just set up another accessory dwelling unit as another rental. They actually, the idea being that if the owner actually lives there, that's a good way to ensure that it's accessory and it's not just another rental unit on the property. There's also requirements about the number of rooms, and that they have to use existing driveways or access to the street, so it doesn't change the character or appearance of the property, and a couple others that we haven't talked about. But
this is very hypothetical, but say that I had an extended family, and I had bought these two properties side by side, or maybe a few feet away from each other, or something like that. If I were the owner, do I have to live on the neighboring property if I owned both still?
Well, I think you might be confusing this proposal with other things of code. So first I would say that if an ADU is on the same property as a single family home, so it's not on a separate piece of property. And apart from ADUs, in a single family home, any number of people who are related by blood or marriage can live on the same property in the same structure. There are rules in the code, and this is also common in codes everywhere, about the number of unrelated individuals that can live on a property, which is 5 in our code, and that's fairly typical of other jurisdictions as well. So it's not just a boarding house type situation or something. There's a limit on the number of folks that can live in an ADU.
Okay, so we have one more minute before we need to close down. So could you let us know, for the public, if they're interested in sitting in on the P&Z meeting, or if they'd like to give their thoughts on this particular accessory dwelling unit, what do they do? Where do they go?
Absolutely. The packet review session and the work session on this is tomorrow night at 6:30 in the conference room in the Borough Building downstairs. And then the public hearing is next Wednesday at 6:30 in the assembly chambers. There have been folks that have expressed some concern about this proposal, and we certainly understand those concerns. I think we've attempted to address them in our report to the Planning and Zoning Commission. But I know P&Z is having this second hearing specifically to hopefully hear from more people in the public, and they want to hear from more people in the public. And then at such time as they're ready for a proposal, just remember there's another opportunity for review and comment when this reaches the Borough Assembly for final action.
Okay, great. Well, you've been listening to Talk of the Rock. Thank you so much for joining us, Bob.
Thank you.